There was a great man that was sent to Nigeria. You know his name, Pa Elton. He's reckoned to be the father of the apostolic movement. He raised Benson in Dahosa. And he set up the coordinates of Pentecostal ministry in Nigeria. I don't know where he's from. Where is he from?
Ireland.
That's Europe. And he began to talk about a move of God that was going to break out from Nigeria. And it would be a move that God will begin with the youth. And he was sent to prepare people for that move. The move actually came. It was the SC revival. And the potency of the move will influence Africa and Europe. Actually, that has happened. But you see, for those of us that have gone to some African countries to minister, you'll find out that the gospel that reached those quarters was not a pure gospel. It was not the gospel of the kingdom. There's a lot of corruption outside of this place. It's obvious that Nigeria is the apostolic phase of Africa. And it's like a nursery where God nurtures things that he wants to export. So even though Nigerians have taken the gospel to Europe, taken the gospel to other parts of Africa, the prophecy that Pa Elton gave is not yet fulfilled. The gospel of the kingdom will rise from Nigeria and it will influence Europe seriously, to influence other nations of Africa. What I'm trusting God for is that there will be a network of ministers across Africa, kingdom ministers. You know, the Bible says that a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. We are trusting God to be able to send forth a culture into the lump that will begin to influence the lump. A network of ministers across Europe and across Africa. And by the grace of God, we want to officially launch that initiative from next year. Not because we want to show that we have connections, but it is time for us to begin to do the things for which God has anointed us. Europe is our responsibility. Hallelujah. Meanwhile, if you can survive this kind of terrain in Makurdi, you can survive London. If you can survive Urukum, you can survive Vancouver. It's a good place to be trained in Africa. And if, just in case you have not seen the map, this is the map. After the fall, God had only three families to work with: the family of Shem, family of Ham, and the family of Japheth. And you know that when Noah became a household man, a husbandman, he became drunk once and uncovered himself. And Ham, which is the father of the black people, looked upon his nakedness, went and told the other brethren. The other brethren took a garment, walked backwards, and covered his nakedness. And when he woke up from his wine, he cursed the descendants of Ham. Hallelujah. And the first in the line was Canaan. And that was why there was no landed property allocation to Canaan for its development upon the earth. The land of Canaan that was eventually given to Shem, the children of Israel. Because the destiny of Canaan was that he would be a servant. The Bible says that God did wonders in the land of Ham, in Egypt. So the land of Ham is Egypt. And the backwardness of the black man is because of some of the things that Noah did in the new era. But a time came when humankind was supposed to speak out. And now was the time where Jesus was being led to Golgotha. It was the sons of Shem that rejected Jesus. The sons of Japheth, Pilate, condemned him to death. And only one family line was open that God could walk with to help Jesus get to the place of destiny. Jesus was fulfilling the prototype of the scapegoat. And he had to die outside of the walls of Jerusalem in order for his sacrifice to be efficacious. And so as Jesus was moving with the cross, he had lost blood in seven places. Thorns, all kinds of stuff, the strokes, the stripes. And he did not have the physical strength to make it to the place where he would fulfill destiny. And God had to co-opt a son of Ham. Because Simon the Cyrenian happens to be from Libya. Cyrene is Libya. Even in the Bible, I can show you that. Cyrene is Libya. So God had to bring in Libya to help out in order for the cross to go outside of the walls of Jerusalem for Jesus to fulfill the claims of divine justice. And that prophetic action of the inclusion of Simon had set up, had changed the template. And the implication of that is that in the end of age, a time will come where nations will crucify Jesus. Nations will not recognize Jesus. It will be the duty of the black man to take the cross outside of his territory. A missionary agent. We understand that map. And the time for us to chart that map has come. May God give you a big heart. May God give you eyes to see beyond the Mekwe. In the name of Jesus. And through network, we will join forces with our brethren in the ends of the earth and send forth missionary manpower that will establish the kingdom of God in the territories among men. We intend to take up that challenge more deliberately from next year. Can you welcome Reverend Yahemba back from the tree? I'm going to share some thoughts with us for 10 minutes and then we'll pray. Now, the reason for this service is so that yokes can be broken. That's the reason. But to generate enough of God's presence to prosecute that intention, we may need to look upon the scriptures. I find my oil from the pages. John chapter 4. Hallelujah. All right, is that strings? Is that my sound? Oh, okay. I remember. There's a song we sang in Malawi when we went. You need to visit the southern part of Africa. They are praise and worship champions. And when they begin to praise God, one song for 1 hour, but it's so anointed. I don't know how they do it. One song. In Malawi, on Sunday, service is from morning till 5 p.m. There's no other business for the day. The business is God. Oh my. You need to see people. Some people, when God began to break out on the field, the noise reached Zambia. The noise of our crusade reached Zambia. The story reached Zambia through the airwaves, through the news. And Zambians began to trek from Zambia to Mzimba, Malawi. It's 2 days and a half journey. They came on foot. They brought their sick in wheelbarrow. You know what? They don't have money for health care. So they believe what you are preaching. The angels that walk, the angels there, they have gray hair. Because as you will be healed as you are preaching here. Well, if you go there, you will be very powerful. I was so powerful there. So powerful. Oh my God. I didn't believe it was the faith of the people. They brought a crippled guy, the leg was twisted. And God reversed it by slow motion. Not boom, no. Then they now put him, the guy now stood for the first time and began to walk. HIV, and there's a hospital close. If you pray for a HIV victim, they'll go and test before you come and testify. So the lab is there. So you can't fake. You can't say, okay, By faith. No, there's nothing. It must. they are very intelligent. You will not believe that on the fifth day, as the miracles kept coming from the headquarters, from God, government, they started coming. It was a great campaign. But I left there with one song that I will teach us before we close today. I sang it in the bathroom and I said, I must remember. Because since I came back, that song has been popping up on my heart. Today I will sing it. John chapter 4, quickly. We must take responsibility for the gospel. John 4 verse 24.
Hallelujah.
Now, I want to talk about spiritual reality. You know, we did spiritual knowledge yesterday. Spiritual knowledge. Now, I will just talk a little about spiritual reality. When next we come to discuss this subject, we will need to still do this thoroughly, but I just want to brush it now. Now, this is Jesus speaking in the book of John, chapter 4, verse 24. He says, God is spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Hallelujah. Now, the word truth there is the same word for reality. They that worship him must worship him in spirit and in reality. Now, you see, what this scripture is teaching, and I'll supply other scriptures to establish the concept, is that every spiritual reality is in the spirit. Have you realized that the Bible says that anyone that does not have the Spirit of Christ is none of his? Because every spiritual reality is in the Spirit. God is Spirit. And they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in reality. You can't touch reality except by the Spirit, because the Spirit contains all spiritual reality. And so anything that you are doing that you don't get to touch the Spirit, that which you do lacks reality. If you are going to know God and do business with God, you must know how to access reality. You can do ministry without touching and branding. And because the average Christian is not a spiritual person, you can bamboozle him with psychology. However, there's another way to do ministry. The Bible says that it is not possible for you to accomplish worship if the God that you want to worship is spirit. It's not possible for you to accomplish worship except it is done in spirit. Imagine this: the day you gave your life to Christ and you became part of God's family, the seal that God released as a proof that you are part of his family is his spirit. Because all spiritual reality are domiciled within his spirit. There's nothing that God will do for you outside of his spirit. In fact, just like I said the first night, it's an abomination for you to consider yourself outside of Christ Jesus. And that's what the Bible means when it says, abide in me. Your context is in him. In your natural disposition, your status is insufficient. Your sufficiency is in the Holy Ghost. That's the support system that God has made available through which you can find sufficiency. The Bible says, not as if we claim that sufficiency is in ourselves or of ourselves. You see, in ourselves or of ourselves. Our sufficiency is not in ourselves, it's not of ourselves. Our sufficiency is in God, and everything that is in God is in His Spirit. So if you are going to touch reality, you have to touch the Spirit. It's after that you have touched the Spirit that you can touch reality. So reality is everything that is in the Spirit. The Bible says that we have received the Spirit which is not of this world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we may know the things that are freely given to us of God. There are some parts of reality that is in form of knowledge, that we may know. There are some parts of reality that is in form of experience. The part of reality that is in form of knowledge is what I call spiritual knowledge. The part of reality that you can only contact by reason of experience is experiential in nature. It's a kind of knowledge that you cannot be taught, but you gain access into that kind of knowledge through experiential engagement. These experiential engagements are the access route into reality. Now, come with me quickly. And stay with me. Because I'm almost out of time. Reality. All right. Let's do 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with the excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. Meanwhile, that means that one of the ways by which a preacher can come is that he can come with excellency of speech. He can come with what? Excellency of wisdom in declaring the word of God. But Paul made a deliberate decision, and the deliberate decision that Apostle Paul made was that his delivery was not going to be a function of mere human capacity to communicate. Can you see what I'm talking about? He is well informed that there's a human layer that he can run, but he decided deliberately that he's not going to run on that operating system. There's a human layer of speech. There's a human layer of wisdom exploited in the trade of declaring God. And he decided that he will not subscribe to that philosophy because he wants a ministry of reality. The tools of the mundane, even though the tools of the mundane can be very powerful. Hitler himself was a very wonderful speaker. He could convince people and sell his demonic ideas through oratory and diction and verbal capacity. But Paul knew the ability of oratory, and he decided not to subscribe to it, not because he did not have the capacity or the diction. It was not an option, because he wanted his ministry to be a ministry that conducts reality, that which is in the Spirit. All right? Now, if you are going to do... Are you still with me? Glory. If you are going to do this kind of ministry, you cannot but exercise your Spirit. And that's why the Bible says God is Spirit. And because God is Spirit, the options of how to reach Him are limited. The only way you can reach Him is through your Spirit. That means you need to exercise your Spirit to access the God that is Spirit, so that you can, through the Spirit, lay hold on reality. I said that there are some realities that are in form of what? Knowledge. For we have not received the Spirit of this world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we may know the things that are freely given to us of God. Which things we speak, not in the words that man's wisdom teacheth, but in the words that the Holy Ghost teacheth. You see, the kind of things that Paul was speaking, he was not speaking from the standpoint of human wisdom. You will need some kind of wisdom in order to communicate knowledge. Alright? But see, the wisdom that he was operating with was not with the wisdom that, the kind of words that man's wisdom teach. He was reaching out to words that the Holy Spirit teaches, and in his delivery, in his spirit, spiritual things are compared with spiritual things. Now, that's a kind of ministry that is what we call this, what we call abled ministry. You know, the Bible says that we are abled ministers of the new covenant, not of the letter, but of the spirit. For the letter killeth, and the spirit giveth life. Now, description of a minister under the context of the New Testament is a dispenser of realities. If we lack the ability to dispense realities, then we are not ministers according to the spirit. We are ministers according to the letter. That means if we take realities out of our ministry, what is left? Letter. No, let me give you the full profile. Yes, letter. That's the first one. The second one is a form. A form, right? You know, the Bible speaks about having a form of holiness. But this holiness is not powered by reality. And when I say that, I am not referring to any ministry. I'm just quoting the scriptures. Holiness can become a form. You are not with me. There are various assortments of types of shadows of Christianity that emerge when it is devoid of what? Reality. So we have letters, dead letters and dogma. We have forms. And you see, the Christianity in Nigeria has suffered a shipwreck under the hands of forms. Forms. So we have letters, we have forms, we have doctrine, teaching. There are teachings that are actually traditions of men. It's not in the scripture. But people attribute it as much authority as they will attribute the scriptures. And that kind of stuff happens when we are no longer ministering in the traffic of reality. What our generation needs is not another bondage, not another form. In fact, the numerous assortments of forms we have in Nigeria is enough. The only thing lacking is reality. Even if you are a sincere Christian and you build your life on forms, when you start getting older, you know you were wrong. And one of the things that the Grace Movement wants to achieve is to take us out of reality. Yes. And what will be left will be a doctrine. You know, that thing they are doing is just mental juggernaut. That's the kind of thing that Paul said he doesn't want to be involved with. Teaching that is as a result of speech and wisdom. Because when a preacher comes to you and he says, the Holy Spirit doesn't convict men of sin, what he's saying is that the organic, the living experience of Christ is not important. What you need to be accurate is join scriptures, co-join scriptures as you see fit. You see, that's a man that is discarding reality because the Holy Spirit cannot operate outside of the logos. There is always a temptation for you to use your human wisdom as a basis of interpreting scripture. Paul said, I desisted from that. Because God will not support what is not his mind. The Spirit of God will not support what is not God's mind. You cannot just come and take a scripture and interpret it the way you want to interpret it. And then you are hoping that the Holy Ghost will back it. No. Reality is only found in the Spirit. And the Spirit of God will only support that which is consistent with the mind of God. And so that means that your intelligence does not change anything. We are not called to be creative. We are called to surrender to the authority of the Word of God. Now, I also suggest that you get the tape where we were bringing a defense for the gospel against the menace, the plague of the doctrine of grace, which is prevalent in this time. You need to sit down with that tape, and just in case you are infected, it's a vaccine that heaven has given us the grace to couple. That will cure you of the situation and set you back in, on course with reality. Hallelujah. 1 John chapter 5 verse 6, as I try to round up. 1 John chapter 5 verse 6. This is he that came by water and by blood, even Jesus Christ. Not by water only, but by water and by blood. And it is the Spirit that beareth witness, because the Spirit is reality. The same word there. The Spirit is reality. Now, in this scripture, the Bible did not even say, it says the Spirit of reality. In this scripture, the Bible says the Spirit is reality. So if the Spirit is not in the context, what you have is a letter, is a form,
or a doctrine of man.
And all of these things are dead in themselves. Meanwhile, spiritual things are real, living, full of life, when they are in the Spirit. Now, listen to me. You might be faced with a situation to minister to somebody that is under demonic oppression. You don't have the capacity to minister to the person except you are ministering from the standpoint of reality. Now, let me explain what I mean. This person's situation is not a natural situation. It's not a physical situation. It's a spiritual situation. You will also need to be in a spiritual condition to be able to minister to a spiritual situation. If you are not in a spiritual condition, you cannot minister to a spiritual situation. Now, there was a lady that was brought sometime. Hallelujah. And the mother said, they are taking her here. And, you know, so I now said, oh, so you have an intention to add me to the list there. She has taken the girl to about 5 places. And now I'm the 6th bus stop. Probably if it doesn't work, then I add to the list. And then it now becomes 6 places that you have taken the lady. Now, I knew that just praying for her, the way the 5 people that prayed before me did, will not help the situation. Except I am taken by the Spirit to see the situation from the realm of reality. Then I will have the authority to address the matter. So when they told me about the condition, I said, okay, no problem, I'll see you. That was strange, because they were expecting that I should rush and begin to pray or wave my hand. They had ideas of how it should go. You know, Naaman had ideas of how the healing process to go, the normal things that preachers do. And then that day he was disappointed because he did not. You see, meanwhile, the prophet Elisha entered into the Spirit, and the Spirit granted him access to the reality of the condition. And by the workings of the gift of word of wisdom, it came to him from the Lord that if he goes and washes himself 7 times, he will be made whole. Now that's what happens. Is it not? Hallelujah. Meanwhile, somebody else can go and wash 7 times thereafter, and it will not work because the person is not doing it from the point of reality. That's why I'm saying, if the Spirit of God is absent, what you have is a dead doctrine, a dogma, a form, or a letter. There's nothing to animate it. But spiritual things are living. Spiritual things have life. If you touch reality, it oozes with life, and you sense it down in your spirit. That life becomes the shield, the air shielding that holds together your faith on that matter. So I went to pray, and as I went to pray in my closet, as I was praying for the lady, my eyes were open and I beheld a demon. This demon was not like the other demons that I used to know. This one was a prince demon, a big creature, a massive creature. It was taller than my roof, and it was looking at me from up there. Now, I was praying for the demon to go, casting the demon out, and the demon was not responding. Listen, you cast out devils, but you wrestle with principalities. When you are wrestling with a principality, you know wrestling now. He can give you a scar. Is okay, you don't like that. Let's leave that one for another time. It's not a kind of battle that you are not likely to be injured. I know you people don't like this part of this story, but God will help us in the name of Jesus. Meanwhile, I was a total novice, and in my own sincere opinion, I had not reached the level to tackle that kind of spirit at that time, because I did not know anything about that level of warfare. I was praying in tongues, it wasn't moved. Prayed in tongues for about 25 minutes, it didn't move. I sprinkled the blood, it didn't move. I did all the things we normally do, it didn't move. Then he now spoke to me, and when he spoke, he did not open his mouth. He spoke through the thought, and he transferred it through my own thought. And he said, if I catch you, you will not survive. You know what I now said? Catch me now. Why are you not catching me now? He came 9 years later. Don't laugh. Calm down. Now let me tell you the full story. The totem of the cult is a witchcraft cult. They got that totem from Benin. Now I'm talking about something that was, they got around 1922 inducted into the colony of witchcraft. And it came to pass that the current custodian of the totem had knowledge that her death had come. So she was looking for someone that had the capacity to inherit the mantle. Now, all the people that were experienced, that would have been able to handle it, she did not like them. They were not loyal to her. So she wanted someone that was like a daughter. So she adopted this young lady that they just initiated, and then transferred the first consignment of demons. Because she was not trained, when they transferred the demons, she checked from Ayamba to Lokoja. Those of you that know, they went to Lokoja to chain her. That was the situation. And when I was now praying about the girl, I saw that spirit. And the demon said, if I catch you, you will not escape. I did not understand what that meant until 9 years later. And this 9 years later was when I was posted to Lagos. I had forgotten about the experience. Meanwhile, when the demon walked away, as I was praying that prayer, the girl was manifesting. So when the demon walked away, the girl became delivered. So I now went to the mother the next day. I said, what happened to your daughter from 8 to 10 yesterday night? He said, the yoke was broken. And I did not pray for her physically. But what happened was that the demon left, and then I became the next target. We cast out devils, but you do what? In Lagos, I'd forgotten. I was doing my own thing, just walking like that. And we're walking offshore, you know, walking offshore late in the night, walking offshore, and all those kind of offshore things. A day came when I'm crossing a bridge, I feel a presence. Whether it's personal car, public transport, that presence started coming. Now, the presence started becoming more intense. Hallelujah. Such that when I come into my room and I begin to feel that presence, I kneel down and I begin to pray. And I don't stand up until the presence goes. Then I'm wondering why God is not intervening to cut it off. I will kneel down. Sometimes I'll have to pray for 3 hours. Then the presence will dissipate. It was one of those days that I was praying because of that presence. That I had that vision about your wife that wanted to deliver. His wife was in Kaduna about to deliver. There were complications. She was about to die. And then I saw a spirit in my room. This spirit that I saw in my room, the hands were longer than the legs. You know, our legs are longer than our hands. This one, the hands were longer than the legs. And introduced himself as the midwife. And I had to wrestle with that spirit for many hours before the spirit. I didn't cast it out. He left. That was when I knew that it was Tina's wife that I fought for. And that time, I think she was bleeding or something, and she was about to pass out. And then after, I'm just saying this for the first time. I think I've told you, but I've said it publicly for the first time. I battled with the midwife. The spirit's name is called the midwife. It was in that season. I had one battle to another battle to another battle, so I now started fasting. You know, Jesus went to the wilderness to be tempted. It was the tempo of the temptation that informed his fasting. When a principality is assigned to you, it will stay with you for months. The type that went to Job, it will look for a seat and sit down and be troubling you if your anchor is not Jesus. That's why ministers die. You hear this one died in his sleep. This one. No, it is not as if God doesn't have power. But when those temptations start, if your anchor is not God, any other thing but God, you'll be cut off. He came back 9 years later. And I had to battle that spirit for 9 months. The spirit left when I went to preach in Enugu. As I was praying to preach. I was praying for myself, not for the congregation. I was praying for myself because the presence knew that I had moved to Enugu. And it was there again. I told the devil, if you will not stop, me, I will not stop praying. It was after that day, then one song came into my spirit. Do you remember this song? I am delivered. Praise the Lord. I am delivered by His word. Once I was bound by the chains of Satan. I am delivered. I am delivered. That was where I knew reality. That there were many things that some demons are not afraid of. Will you bring Queen's English that time? Diction that I schooled in Harvard. Are you not aware? And after the 9 months, I was promoted. Meanwhile, I need to make you understand that when the spirit began to do all those things, in the natural, in the office, there was a damsel that would see me and say, may the Lord give you understanding. The principality could not succeed. So there are several certain levels that you get to with God that you cannot afford some luxuries. If you are a new believer and you fall that way, you can touch something. If I had touched, now I came to announce to you, don't allow him to catch you. And the thing was fine. The product. Jesus. The product. Jeremiah, that product. The product. But if I had, something would have caught me. He waited for 9 years to attempt to catch me. And it's as if he went to take that time. He collected it from heaven. Because I cast it. The thing won't go. But when the time expired, the song came. Of all the songs I will sing, this one is my memorial song. I am delivered. Praise the Lord. Singing, I am delivered. I am delivered. Oh, praise the Lord.
I am delivered
by his words.
His word.
Once I was bound by the chains. Hombre si se ne comba, ile toke masila manteli.
I am delivered.
Singing, I am delivered. Oh,
si ne ne comba,
I am delivered.
By his words.
Once I was bound by the chains.
Hemosele
cumbres kamakoba. Eke kumbelesime.
I'm delivered.
I'm delivered.
I am delivered.
I am delivered.
I am delivered.
Oh,
I am delivered
by his word.
Once I was bound by the chains. I was bound once.
And I am delivered.
Oh,
I am delivered, delivered, delivered.
Delivered.
I am delivered, delivered.
I'm delivered.
I'm delivered.
I am delivered.
I am delivered.
I am delivered.
Oh,
I am
delivered
by his word.
Once I was bound by the chains.
I was bound once.
Oh.
And I am delivered.
Oh.
I am delivered, delivered, delivered.
Delivered.
Delivered,
I am delivered.
Shabbos power.